let me introduce you to the listeners.
Yes.
Now, Jim is Professor Jim Sheehan is the author of Family Conflict and After Separation and Divorce, and he was a senior social worker and a family therapist and the director of training in family therapy and family practice in Marta University Hospital, and professor in, I can't pronounce this.
It's at the VID University in Oslo in Norway.
Yes, yes, yeah, that's it. I'm glad.
Okay.
It's a very topical heading, let's say. So tell us about what forgiveness is.
Forgiveness, well, first of all, the forgiveness does not have one definition. But it seems to be associated with that capacity of giving something up in advance. Very often we give up the right. Forgiveness is often associated with giving up the right to retribution, the right to take vengeance, and so on.
Mm.
But the problem with even the concept of forgiveness is that there's a lot of disagreement about what it actually is, and that makes it quite difficult to research.
Yes. Usually forgiveness is about something awful happening, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. It is. It's about, and in fact, some of the philosophers say that really, you know, it only has meaning, forgiveness, in the context of things happening that seem unforgivable. So those two ideas, in a way, have to be thought together. Forgiveness only maybe makes sense in the context of things that seem really unforgivable.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Great atrocities, great social atrocities, atrocities between peoples, and indeed great interpersonal atrocities and wounds as well,
mm.
You know.
Mm. And do you think people have the capacity to forgive? What kind of people? How do people, you know, use this forgiveness?
Yes. Well, you know, one of the big researchers from the United States there's a center in the United States, the Templeton Center Foundation, mm. which concentrates a lot of research on forgiveness, say that, you know, there's very little that we can say with certainty about forgiveness. And they certainly say that there's very little evidence as yet to say that forgiveness is invariably helpful.
Mm.
But two things that they do say is that forgiveness is much more likely to happen when a person makes an act of repentance.
Mm.
Or an apology. That's mm. the first thing. And the second bit of research that's really seems to have some weight behind it is the idea that older people find it more easy to forgive. They
yes.
can forgive easier than young people, adolescents, young adults, or middle-aged people.
Mm. I wonder why, Jim. Is it because as you grow older, you are more mellow?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there is, first of all, I think that there's a sense in which there's less time. And I think Emily Dickinson has a lovely poem about forgiveness, which says that, you know, that as the person gets older, there's less time to feel enmity.
Mm.
And you're more aware of the limited possibilities available to you.
Yes.
So you don't want to sour your life, your
yes.
remaining life, with the holding on to feelings of resentment and vengeance,
yes.
you know?
Yes. So it must be the limited time, probably.
I think it may have something to do with that,
yes.
you know?
Mm.
At the same time, I have met many older people who find it really difficult to forgive as well.
Mm.
So I think you have to bring in other factors like the nature of the wounds that people felt, you
yes.
know,
yes.
the extent to which they have had acknowledgement by others or not. Because there are many people in our society who go around with many, many wounds and large feelings of resentment.
Yes.
And that often seems to continue and continue and continue. And sometimes it continues not because of any particular personality traits that those people have, but because the world in the context of other people have not really acknowledged the woundedness of the person involved, the people involved. You know, there has not been that acknowledgement of what has happened.
Yes. So the ignoring of the wound is the wound, isn't it? It's the crux of the matter.
Exactly, it is. Ignoring of the wound often compounds it.
Yes.
Because the person has to go back within themselves, and they go back then within with a limited range of stories within themselves.
Yes. So I suppose if you, for instance, if you have a wound, a political wound, social wound, cultural, whatever. I don't know how to categorize these. But
they're all different, aren't they?
Yes, they're all different. Because I think all cultures have different types of wounds and the way they react to it.
Yes.
But I think usually they would like to wound others or rather hurt others because for they are hurt.
Exactly. And that's I suppose, where the idea of forgiveness comes in as bringing about the possibility of stopping a cycle of vengeance and revenge, because so often in our own cultures and societies we observe this kind of long-standing cycle of groups wounding and re-wounding each other. Every act of vengeance becomes the stimulus for another counter-reaction. So what? And that, of course, that kind of creates an ongoing kind of tension and woundedness in the social field as a whole.
Yes. But I wonder, very often people cover up their wounds, don't they?
Yeah. Do you mean individuals cover up?
Individual cover up, you know, governments cover up, and then, you know, you don't
go. Governments cover up, that's right.
Yes.
That's right.
So,
they cover up for different reasons.
Yes.
They often cover up for political reasons.
Yes.
Because they want to go into the future in a particular way.
Yes.
So the cover up, of course, is an act of power in itself.
Yes.
Which usually doesn't work well in the longer term.
Yes, it further wounds. It kind of
further wounds.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. It's a type of silencing.
Yes.
Do you know? At the same time, I think that the listening to wounds and the narrating of wounds, you know, if it's to lead to something more constructive, it has to be open to what I would call a kind of a critical use of memory.
Yes.
So that in other words, the wounded group or the wounded individual needs in time to be able to tell the story of the past event from different perspectives.
Yes.
Including the perspective of the person or people who they regard as the perpetrators of their own wounds.
Yes.
And of course that's a very difficult thing for people to do.
Yes.
To be able to, you know, move from a position of telling the story of their own woundedness from their own perspective to putting themselves in the position of the other who may have wounded them and to try to see that other in the event in other perspectives as well, you know?
Yes, and then you could legitimize wounds, you know, wounding others for particular reasons. And they usually,
exactly. You can legitimize it as a way of, you know, getting your own back or evening the score. And of course, that very often, does lead to ongoing conflict.
Yes.
At the same time, I think that when we talk about wounds and people perpetrating wounds, I think it's quite appropriate to consider the question of justice.
Yes.
So that, and what does justice demand for the wounded? I think that's a critical issue in our society.
Yes.
You know, and I think that we're engaged in it in lots of different ways with lots of different groups in our societies. But how do governments, bring about some sense of justice for people who have been wounded in the past in different ways, by maybe by societal institutions and so on.
Yes.
And I say very explicitly some sense of justice, because when we hold on to a too strict a sense of justice, when we hold on to that too strictly, it becomes impossible to move beyond something, you know?
Yes.
Because in some ways, there are aspects of wounds. Wounds bring about losses. Wounds bring about, lost possibilities. And some things can just not be compensated for.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I think there is a dawning awareness in our societies and our cultures of that. That the efforts to provide justice for victims in different ways can only go so far.
Yes.
The worst thing of all is for societies and for governments to ignore it.
Yes. Justice is an important thing. Yes.
And so
would you think that forgiveness is a balm on the wound?
Forgiveness certainly, I think it works. I think there's a very strange, mysterious character of forgiveness, because it seems to come about sometimes not through our efforts to forgive, because sometimes when we try to forgive and we try to make it an act of the will, forgiveness runs away from us. So very often forgiveness comes much more from an openness and a willingness to let forgiveness in, rather than a conscious willed effort to forgive. You know?
Yes. As an atonement. You mean forgiveness as an atonement?
Exactly.
Mm.
Yeah. But is it a balm upon the wound? I think it is to a degree. It's a balm upon the wound. Forgiveness brings about a type of forgetting.
Yes.
You know?
Mm.
Forgiveness allows us not to keep the wound in the forefront of our mind all the time.
Yes.
It's not a full forgetting.
Yes.
It's not a full forgetting. So it shouldn't be confused with forgetting.
Mm.
But it's like keeping the wound in mind, but not in the front of your mind all the time. It's kind of keeping that woundedness in reserve.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. I mean, it's a big burden to have a grudge inside you, kind of resentment.
It's a huge thing.
Yes.
It's a huge thing.
It's a burden, isn't it?
And exactly, it is. It's a load, you know.
Mm.
It's a load because it has an impact on the social field and not just an impact on the person's personality and psychology and on their own spirits.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
It doesn't do that, but it kind of impacts on the relationship with people who have maybe wounded you in the past.
It probably impacts even in your ordinary daily relationships, because I mean, you have resentment and anger. There's a lot of anger inside people.
That's right.
Who are wounded.
That's right. And then when it's not acknowledged, and the source of the anger and the source of the wound is not acknowledged, the anger can get displaced in lots of maybe ways that are not so appropriate and not so helpful.
Yes.
You know?
I suppose that's what
happens. And you often find that, for example, you know, in our culture, I often hear people say through my work, oh, that person, they're such an angry person. They're so angry. You know, they seem angry all the time at different situations. And very often when you look more deeply, it's because that person has a wound from the past, or wounds from the past that have not been recognized, you know. And maybe they don't see the possibilities of those wounds ever getting recognized.
Mm. And historical wounds can have a big impact on socially, culturally.
Well, they do. They do. They have an ongoing impact because our memory, our historical memory, is so long. Do you know?
Yes.
And we run away from historical memory at our peril.
Yes.
You know, because that's often just a type of effort to culturally forget.
Yes.
You know?
Mm.
And that's not good either. But at the same time, we have to be really careful about all our remembrance ceremonies in our cultures, remembrance of wounded pasts.
Yes.
That we have to find a middle course whereby we respect and remember a wounded past, but do that in the context of also doing history in a way that allows us to see those same events from other people's perspectives and not just our own.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, not in a convenient position. People are more convenient. They don't want to disrupt the apple cart, yeah?
They don't want to
disrupt the apple cart, as they
yeah,
say.
They
yes.
don't upset the apple cart.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm.
That's right.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. But I think that we're at a point, say for example, in our own culture, for example, say in the north of Ireland, the issue about dealing with the past is still a very big challenge for everybody.
Yes.
And it's a challenge for us here in the south of Ireland as well, in the Republic of Ireland. You know, how much do we remember the past? What kind of ceremonies should we foster in that remembrance? How should we remember the heroes of the past? Do we remember the complexity of their deeds, you know?
Mm.
And do we kind of, you know, allow ourselves to get into the grayness that would invite us to look further at very often the woundedness that our own ancestors inflicted on others,
yes,
and not just the wounds they received themselves.
Mm. But I think in some ways people forget that there are people behind it, human beings. Now, as a therapist, you know, and as a friend, it's a conflict in, it sounds like a conflict in families, you know.
Yes,
very similar absolutely. To whatever conflicts that happens in the society as well.
Yes, that's right. And I suppose in families, it can be somewhat different in the sense that wounds can be carried between family members who can never really get away from each other, for example. You know?
Yes.
Wounds between parents and children, wounds between siblings, you know, you can't sort of move away from them. There are other relationships in society where if there have been wounds inflicted within the relationship, people can move apart.
Yes.
You know?
Do they really leave, move
there's
apart?
There's no onus on them to remain connected. And there's no onus on them to reconcile in some way from their woundedness.
Yes, Jim. But even if you move away, we have the grudge inside us, don't we?
Exactly. Mm.
So that's we never right. move away, really.
We never. Well, we carry it from a
we carry it, yes,
view.
Yes. The burden is carried over.
That's right.
Yes.
And I mean, in the family literature, there's lots of wonderful stories of you know, people who are wounded and they suddenly decide to move away without dealing with issues with their family. They move very far away geographically. And they end up surprised at the fact that the conflict remains within them.
Yes, yes.
No? So they carry that legacy of woundedness and conflict. You know?
Yes.
So reconciliation is a challenge.
It is
always a challenge.
Yes.
It's never easy, you know.
So
and in a way, you know, the whole idea of forgiveness only really finds its meaning in the context of things, as we were saying earlier, that seem unforgivable.
Yes.
You know, lots of family members have things that seem unforgivable to them. You know, whether it's issues to do with abuse, physical abuse or sexual abuse within families, or whether it's to do with financial abuse or, you know, other types of relational injustices. Those matters can seem very, very big. And often seem as unforgivable as those big atrocities that happen at a cultural or societal level, you know?
Yes. I was reading about how the Buddhists feel about forgiveness. It's seen as a practice to prevent harmful thoughts from causing havoc on one's mental well-being. So, yes, and it recognizes that feelings of hatred and ill will leave a lasting effect on one's mind.
Exactly. I think that psychologists and the social sciences would be very much in tune with that kind of perspective.
Yes.
They see, for example, that the benefit for the person of letting go and forgiving, the psychological benefits for the person forgiving and letting go. And some writers often talk about an experience of physically feeling much lighter.
Yes.
In themselves, and physically feeling the lifting of a burden when forgiveness has happened.
I suppose it colours all what your whole life.
Well, it can cover your whole life if wounds are not acknowledged. You know.
Yeah.
It can cover. It can sour people's attitude to life.
Hmm. And fear, it generates fear.
It makes them feel that life itself has mistreated them.
Yes. And when there's fear, I suppose you feel, how does one feel when you have fear? I wonder.
When you have fear.
Mm. What do your clients tell you, Jim, you know?
Well, for example, I think that they feel fearful very often of taking any new steps. And one of the things that happens with woundedness and that has not been recognized is that it traps people in a time warp very often.
Yes.
And they feel glued in a way to the wound. The wound sticks them. The past wound sticks them.
Mm.
And they sort of live with a past that does not pass.
Mm.
And hence they find it difficult to live in the present and take the opportunities that present themselves to them in life in the present.
Okay, Jim.
Or in the future.
Jim, thank you.
So it kind of interrupts woundedness often, and unrecognized trauma interrupts that dynamic kind of interplay between past, present, and future in people's lives. And it kind of cuts the present and future very often off from the past.
Jim, I think we have to stop now because our time is up as usual.
Okay.
But I hope people listening to you will benefit by what you said and listen and think carefully about our wounds.
And everybody, I suppose, Lakshmi, just to finish, everybody has their own experience.
Exactly, yes, yes.
And it's really important for everybody to listen to their own experiences and the experiences of others around them, because forgiveness and the unforgivable probably works very differently for different people.
So listening is actually about forgiveness. You start with listening. Yeah. Thank you, Jim. Thank you so much. Thank you very much.